And we are back once again after a little bit of a hiatus. This is the Batflip Sports Podcast. I am Josh, and instead of Petter this week because he forgot his laptop at work, we have our main man Skev here. What's up, bro?
Not a whole lot, man. Just watching the Twins, and yeah, Petter, real nice job of leaving a laptop at work. That was after we talked about it yesterday. I'm a little upset.
Yeah, the one guy who actually like does this for a living.
And gets upset. I mean, not that I do say I'm going to do it and then I don't do it. But for how much grief he gives me, I think he deserves a little bit here.
Yeah, so it's been a while since you've been on. The last time you were on was the NHL playoff preview.
Yeah, which, gosh, I don't want to go back and look. I've heard a little bit of it, and I was wrong on a lot of accounts. So hopefully this goes a little bit better.
Yeah, I didn't go back. I stayed far away after the Wild lost and never again.
No, understand.
Dark my race. But we're in good times here in Minnesota. Right now, things are looking up in the state, which is a weird turn. So to start it off, we're recording this. It's Saturday. The Gophers just won for football. But we're going to start off talking about the Twins and their playoff push. So lately, they've been walking off back-to-back nights. They've been winning 16-0. But you were actually at a couple of those games.
Yeah, I went to the game on Tuesday, and I went to the game on Thursday as well, just kind of on a whim thing. You know.
And the Tuesday one was the 16-0-7 home run game?
Correct, yeah. I lucked out and found seats behind the plate, which I've never done before, which is kind of a cool experience. And I feel like every time I turned or went to go to the bathroom or get a beer, it was like someone was hitting a home run or someone – you know, it's kind of one of those that you dream of going to because everything went right.
So you essentially went to a home run derby.
Yeah, it was basically that. And I didn't realize, obviously, the records that were going on. So afterwards to see that, like, what was it, like the home run in 5 innings straight or something like that?
7 innings straight.
Seven, that's what it was. Yeah, that's
what it was. No, it's 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think it was 7.
I think it was 7.
And, yeah, it was just fun. I feel like it was kind of, for me anyways, I mean, I've been watching all year, but it kind of really kickstarted and got me really going for this little push they're going. Target Field was just rocking that night, so that was kind of fun.
Okay, so after that, then the next night, Rosario put one in the right field in the 10th inning after after Toronto tied it, so he won it on Wednesday night. Then Thursday night, you were back at the field.
Yeah, Thursday I was back again, as I'm right, and as I kind of talked about earlier, it was really a great atmosphere again, and then I think it was Smoke hit a home run in the ninth that ended up tying it, and the whole place just went.
Two outs in the ninth.
Yeah, two outs in the ninth, and I mean, which it should. I mean, I get it. You get a little upset, and we ended up, you know, they ended up tying it. We go three up, three down. We get them up, three up, three down. Come back up, two outs, and the whole place was looking pretty dead again. Not that Buxton hasn't been great all year, but I don't think anybody really had a ton of confidence in him in that spot. And he came up and hit. I mean, I know it's easy to say the biggest home run of the year, but for back-to-back walk-offs and to continue to ride the hot streak that they're on, I think it was probably easy to say that was the biggest home run of the year. And it was a fun night in Minneapolis, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool. So right now, the Twins are in the beginning stages of their game tonight, and they're down 1-0, right?
Yeah, correct. Donaldson put one to the moon, so that was
I don't keep up on like the whole MLB usually, but did I see that Joey Bats is like struggling big time this year?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up was something that kind of blows your mind, and if you haven't been watching all year, it would kind of really throw you for a loop here, is they actually intentionally walked someone to get, I think it was Donaldson, Smoke, to get to Batista, and they even said on the broadcast yesterday that you wouldn't see that 2 years ago, you know, someone purposely walking to get to Joey Batista in big inning moments. So it's sad to see. His swing's still fun to watch, and when he gets a hold of it, I think he still has 20-plus home runs, so for a down year, it's not terrible, but kind of like 208 or something, so it's pretty tough to see.
Crazy. You said biggest at-bat of the year and all that for Buxton. This is crazy to think at the beginning of the year, but you can make the argument, and I think I would make the argument that he is our most important player.
Oh, absolutely. I know they have like the how many runs he's saved as far as.
Yeah, the runs saved and the wins above replacement and all that.
But I feel like that doesn't tell the whole story from some of those where it's like he'll save a base hit early, or he'll, you know, and that doesn't really tell the whole story of how many runs he truly saves, you know, because it just kind of takes care of the ones that, you know, guys in scoring position. So I feel like that stat doesn't do him justice. And then he's really just turned that bat around. He's bunting the ball more, which I'm okay with his given his speed. And
I mean, I just pulled it up. He's batting .255. People don't understand how bad his start was.
It was terrible. I think I remember being at the
fourth batting like .110.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I remember just at the 4th of July, you know, right around the midway point, I remember sitting around and being like, I just hope he breaks 200, you know, like 220. Because, you know, I thought it was going to be one of those seasons. I
wanted him to ride it out line.
Again, because he's clearly not getting any better in AAA. He just continues to tear the cover off the ball. So I wanted him to stay all year, and I knew it was going to be a struggling year. So I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, 220, 230. And, yeah, he's definitely exceeded my expectations.
Good for him, dude, because that guy – I mean, okay, so legitimately, with the way he's going right now, would you trade him for any one person in baseball outside of Harper? Trout, even though he's starting to like look a lot like Trout. And, okay, let's put those two. I mean, you can make the argument at 23 years old and what he plays and what he does, that is like, I don't know if I trade him for almost anyone.
Yeah, I mean, other than, I mean, there's, I would pump the brakes on that a little bit, because there's a lot. I mean, you guys got guys like Correa, you've got guys like Lindor. There's just a lot of young guys. I mean, I guess Judge is like 27 now. There's a lot of young guys. Hoskins is coming. I mean,
You know what? You're right. It's probably a little crazy. Would you trade him for Judge?
No, I don't think I would. And understandably, I get what he's doing. Judge, but again, he's like 27 and the Twins are not in a right now mode. If I'm another team, maybe if I need to win, the Twins aren't there yet. Am I saying that Buxton is for sure better now? No. In the field, absolutely, that's no questions asked. He's got better wheels than he does, obviously. I said better defensively, but I mean, you can't beat the power Judge is doing, and you can't knock what he did in the first half of the season. But again, it just comes out of age. I think, like I said, I think he's like 27 and Buxton's 23. And the position the Twins are in now, him out in center, I mean, anything that's hit relatively in his area is caught. And you can't, do that.
It was cool. The Twins did that montage of the pitcher's reactions after he like saves runs. And it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Gibson. I mean, that, you know, everybody does the Eli Manning face where he pouts. They should have the Kyle Gibson face where he gets excited about, or, you know, like he sees one go off the bat and he's like, ah, shoot, that's probably, you know, a triple or gone. And Buxton saves his ass. It's like, if I could have a couple of pictures of that, that'd be great.
Yeah, no kidding. So they're looking good. Only really, is it like pretty much the Angels are the only ones behind them?
Angels and I think
Seattle.
Seattle. I mean, I don't think anyone's really too far back. Seattle's 4, Casey's 4.5, and Rangers are 5.
Okay, well, okay, so Texas and the Rangers start tomorrow.
Right.
I think.
No, let me double check that.
They might play tonight, actually.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Let's see here.
Okay, so that's good. They beat up on each other.
Right, no, that's huge. And, well, that's what it comes down to here. Well, Cleveland played Kansas. Is that what you said? Sorry.
Bama just got 3 more.
Let's go.
17-0.
For anyone who's wondering, of course, Coach got the over.
It's a great Saturday. That's all I'm going to say.
It always is. But, no, yeah, Texas and L.A. are playing each other. So, yeah, like you said, that's going to be pretty nice. I wish.
So at the end of the day, we just got to take care of business.
Yeah, really. And, God, it's just scary to think of as a Minnesota fan. You just want to think the worst. I know you've talked about it as a diehard all the way around, and I don't know how you live because, God, the stress is incredible. But, yeah, I just hope they find a way to pull through on this. Again, Mejia's pitching tonight, and he's not doing poorly. Donaldson, like I said, sent one of the second deck, but other than that, he's doing okay. I think we're looking okay for the push in the long haul here.
That's cool. It's not good luck for me, but I asked another guy who's more in tune to this if they've tracked out who would pitch the play-in game if we got there. And to my knowledge and what I was told, it would be Berríos.
And see, I'm okay with that.
And it would be against the Yankees, I'm assuming.
Right. Gosh, I guess I'm mixed with that because I'm kind of an Irv guy. I don't know if it's – you kind of got it in me with the Saitana in the beginning or what it was. But, you know, I was really down on him when they got him right away. It was like, what in the world is this? And obviously, he's made me and everybody – he's exceeded everybody's expectations, I think. Mm-hmm. Berrios scares me away from target field. So I know I went a long ways to say that, but he scares me away from target field. So I'd love for us to get the home field advantage. I'd be there no matter what the tickets are. That'd be so much fun. I think we're going to play in Yankee Stadium, and I think I'd rather have Irv ready to go if we had to play in New York.
So could we do that? I mean, if we lock it up with two games left, couldn't we essentially just say, can we like just hold Irv off until that game?
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Or is that going to screw up his, like, I don't know what pitchers, like, if you hold him off a day or two, like, does that screw up their rhythm?
Nah, I don't think so, especially someone like, he's better on the block before. I mean, I don't think he's ever been really, yeah, he has, like, a real horse. But, I mean, I think he's been around the block and he's seen people do, yeah, I don't think he'd have any trouble if you had to, like you say, give him a couple extra days, skip a start or whatever it is and pitch on 7 days rest or eight, whatever it is. I don't think that's a problem at all.
The only problem going then is, okay, and this is a long ways from it, if we ended up winning that play-in game, then our rotation is a little screwy for,
yeah, for
if we won. But I mean, that's best case scenario, and I'll take that in a heartbeat, obviously, after a 103 loss season.
Oh, right. Again, that's off. But if you think about this, the way I think about it is if you play Boston, that first game's against Sale anyways. I love the Twins, but that's a wash. I mean, I know we hit them hard. That's a wash. So, you know, whether if we have to throw Berrios that game, whatever, I wish we wouldn't, but, I mean, you have to.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want Berrios against Sale because we know Berrios has it in him where he could outduel someone?
Oh, no, I agree. Especially if you pitch Irv in that playoff game, you have to throw Berrios in that next game. It's just the overthinker in me thinks, man, how are you going to beat Sale? Maybe you throw Gibson or Bartolo and pray for, you know, some good defense and maybe
back. Gibby's been pretty good lately.
Yeah, and that's all I'm thinking. Again, you have to start Berrios. Buxton, gotcha. No, you have to pitch Berrios, but it's just a tough spot. And then Houston, I don't know. I feel like Cleveland, as good as they are, for some reason I'm not terrified. The only team I'm really scared of is Houston.
Really? Aren't they the ones that are struggling the most lately?
Yeah, but I just think they figured that thing back. That lineup is just too damn good. Part of the reason they're struggling is Correa was out for a while, and then he's back now. I know he's been back for a while, and they're still not doing great. But to add, now they're going to get McCullers, like, fully healthy, Keuchel and Verlander. I mean, that bullpen is Gregerson. I mean, I know it's underrated, and you probably haven't heard a ton, but he shuts down, like, and it's every night. He can do it every single night. He'll shut down from the fifth to the eighth inning. It's stupid.
That's so nice.
It's stupid. It's dumb. And in those three innings or whatever, he'll have five strikeouts. He's just got stuff like crazy. And so, yeah, I'm afraid of Houston. Other than that, I feel confidence in this Twins team.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And hopefully as we get closer and closer, we get closer to our goal here. And if there's a play-in game, and we're a part of it, that's a huge win for this organization.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This, in general, this is a huge, I never thought.
No, this is a win, but it was also 2 years ago when we were like two games out of a play-in spot. But this team feels way different.
Way different, yeah. No, way different. And if Mejia can just give us anything, really, I know that sounds bad, but really give us anything in that five hole there. I mean, he's pitching well again tonight. I know Toronto's not fantastic, but I think he's three strong here and one, like I said, one run, so.
Yeah, we'll see. If we're recording, we might get a good live reaction from Skev. If we get on a little bit of a heater here, this could be good radio.
Oh yeah, give me another shot here. We'll be ready to go.
Yeah. But, so moving on, we got it is Saturday, and Gopher football has started. We're three games in, and we are rowing the boat strong. The Gophers are 3-0. Granted, they haven't played the best competition, but they did play a Pac-10 or 12. Where are they? Pac-12 now?
Pac-12, yeah.
Yeah, they're Pac-12 now. They beat a crappy Pac-12 team. Oregon State was trash, but we did it on the road, and I think they've covered every game spread-wise.
They have, and their first. I mean, Oregon State first in the Pac-12 North. I'd like to talk about it a little bit.
So far, it's been a fun experience rowing the boat, but. We finally have our quarterback in Rhoda. They've decided on that this weekend. And weirdly, we don't really know what went on there because the other guy in competition, Croft, is now like pretty much no longer with the team as we know it.
See, I'd like for you. I feel like there's people. There has to be people like me out there. I'm kind of a fair weather with these guys. I give them the first three games, and if they do like they did this season, beat the shit out of the other team, then I jump on and I'll admittedly say I hate it. And I'm that guy. I'm the bandwagon. Whatever you want to say. Can you give me a little, like, what is this team about? Are we defense heavy? I know Flex got this place, you know, the whole state ready to go, but what is this team like? I mean, are we run heavy?
Okay,
are we,
what's our makeup? We're a run first team with a pretty solid defense. We have really good linebackers, and we're going to play. We haven't allowed a point in the second half yet this year in three games.
So adjustments have to be pretty solid in the locker room, eh?
Yeah, again, you just don't know when you're playing like soft non-conference opponents.
And that stinks because when I saw Oregon State, like you said, it is a Pac-12 team, and I feel like I just from years past, and by years past, I probably have, you know, 3 years, whatever. I saw that and I was like, oh, okay. Like usually, you know, you see these Middle Tennessees and these Buffalo, you know, three teams in a row like that. And so when I saw something like that, I was kind of excited, only to find out they're not fantastic. So, like, what?
No, but granted, we did go to overtime with them last year in TCF.
Well, right. I feel like that's why I was excited about it. Was, you know, in years past, I feel like they've had teams that really have produced. And are we just that good, do you think?
I think it's a whole culture change, and I think the guys are playing harder. We haven't really thrown the ball that much, which is a little weird. We do have this one sophomore wide receiver, Johnson, from Minneapolis, that's tearing it up.
Which I love to hear.
Yeah, no, it's still a bunch of local kids. And the weird part is there's still no Fleck guys really in here. I mean,
right.
So he's got guys with that aren't really quote unquote his, and he's doing a good job with it. And by the way, Oregon's up 14-0 already, so that's looking good.
That's early. What's
that?
Was it his recruiting class that he just had then that did so well? I feel like I just saw us in like a top.
No, it's the one for next year.
Okay, yeah, we're four, right?
We're way back now. We're like in the 30s.
Oh,
because right when we do it, like a lot of the bigger schools, like Bama and all them, the five stars don't accept till later.
Oh, I'm looking at hoops. My bad.
Oh, well.
I got a text from one of my buddies saying that, talking about the recruiting class. So I was like, he's a huge golf guy. So I was like, oh, man, I got to check this out. Yeah, it's hoops. My bad.
No. The football recruits are good. And Fleck, even his recruits coming in this year are pretty decent, considering he only had like 4 weeks to get them or something. He had a really small window. But the dudes he has, I mean, frick, Rhoda wasn't even thinking about coming. He's a fifth-year starter. He was like he wasn't gonna play football this year. Fred called him after he got the job, and said, "You need to come compete for the starting job."
Well, I love that. I'm all about that.
So, like, I'm all in on this team, but we get into they just missed a field goal.
I'm looking here. They got Maryland, Purdue, Michigan State the next three.
Two out of three would be wonderful.
It's at home against Maryland. I think
that's huge, by the way. Maryland's a decent team. They beat up Texas.
I don't think Minnesota's a fun place to play for. I mean, I know obviously in the winter it's definitely not, but I mean, I've obviously been to those games being in Dinkytown a lot. I mean, I was at the game where we just barely lost to Michigan the other year, and I don't think that's a fun place to play.
Probably not.
I think that was on Halloween, so granted a month later, but like that wasn't bad weather, and you know, that wasn't like a, oh, play Minnesota. And I feel like Maryland at home, I know they just beat the brakes off of Texas, and I hate Texas for last year and forever will. But I think if we beat – I think that's a huge statement game. If we beat Maryland, again, I know they're not a superpower, but, I mean, they're in the Big Ten. Like, I think that's a big win.
Oh, all of them are big now.
I mean, what's
Michigan? Especially when you're getting into conference play. I think it's conference play from here on out.
Yeah, Maryland, yep. Maryland at Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois at Iowa, at Michigan. Well, we know Iowa's trash, so I'm not worried about that.
Oh man, I need to beat Iowa. I need to get Floyd's pig back.
I just check in on that just for those guys. I was in all in on Northern Texas today. Just
yeah, no. Like each week, I always cheer against who's going against Iowa and who's going against Wisconsin. Who was Wisconsin losing to week one? And I tweeted, I'm like, always been a big fan.
Well, I can't remember. Yeah. And I feel like that's my problem now is like, especially with the Twins, I feel like I got turned around because I lived with my brother and it was, you know, Ben's 6'4", you know, 230, whatever. Like, I'm not going to be able to dictate what we watch on the TV unless it's really. So he wants to watch the Twins. Like, I remember last year it was Sharks Penguins and or the net, whatever that Stanley Cup was. I think it was like, and I was like, Ben, do you want to turn it to that? He's like, no, I don't. And we watched the Twins lose 10-1 to the Miami Marlins. Like, that's just what he does. And oh shit, I got an ad coming up here. Oh gosh. No, I just feel like I don't know. I feel like they're not getting the benefit of the doubt, and that time I just always expect the wheels to fall off. And if they beat Maryland, I think fans like me have to shut their mouths. Like, I think
yeah, no. it'll be really, really fun to see how they do this year. And Flex, like, he's talking about it, and whenever he mentions it, he's like, yeah, we're in year zero of this process, which I think is super interesting. I think he's setting himself up that it's still not completely his team. Like, he's just kind of like setting the pieces in place. He's like, just wait, guys, it's only going to get better.
No, I agree. And it's just, it reminds me, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't even say that much of a smaller scale of Harbaugh when he took over. You know, obviously those guys weren't his and he still made something happen. Like, if he makes something happen with this and then flips around and, because they had a new offensive line coach, right? As well?
Yeah.
From Ohio State. Am I crazy?
He might be the OC.
OC, yeah, that's what it was. So, I mean, like, we're getting big guys. I feel like, I mean, with him, he's going to bring in new guys, recruit club. I'm excited to see what he's going to do when he has, like, his own people in place.
Yeah, no, super. And hopefully he stays here and he isn't at, you know, a better school.
I didn't even think about that. Don't do that.
Would you take him at Notre Dame? You're a big Notre Dame guy. How'd that game go today?
Notre Dame game went fantastic. I still think it's just a nightmare.
Would you take Fleck as a coach?
Their defense is brutal, and they can't throw. I mean, from what I've seen from PJ, I would take absolutely anyone over Brian Kelly at this point. So if you told me PJ, from what he's done, I mean, he gets me excited every time I see him do anything. You know, if he's on TV, like, just talking into a microphone with a clipboard over his face, I'm pumped up because he's got veins popping out of his whole body. So, I mean, if he can, I'm about that. And if he's looks like he's doing a good job in Minnesota, I just, I'm out on Brian Kelly. Notre Dame, good win. Boston College is trash. I don't want to get too excited about it.
So for the real ones, for anyone that's listening through our Twitter feed and all that, you actually went on Periscope last season at the first game of the year, the epic game against Texas, and you kind of poured your heart and soul out into the fan base.
Well, yeah, that was, gosh, well, that was kind of still early, Brian, not super early, but still kind of like I was, you know, I wanted to believe in him a little bit. I mean, you have to. And so I think I remember telling people that his middle name was Third and Short or something, and we ended up getting stopped, and I ended up looking like a, you know, like a moron. But, yeah, that Periscope was kind of, this whole last year, it was kind of eye-opening. Just the fact that he hired the worst, I mean, you remember that defensive coordinator. Everyone talks about how he looked like Drama off of Andre.
Yeah, he was Johnny Drama.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was the worst. My brother and I get up for every single game. We watch every single game together. I go over to his house. I just remember him and I watching that game. And what's that kid? He's a freshman. What's his last name? Something with a B. I can't remember what it is. It's a weird last name. And they're like, oh, they're going to do, you know, two quarterbacks here, and we're not sure what you're going to see. And that 18-year-old came out and just slang his dick all over Notre Dame's defense.
Bucell or whatever. Bucell.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's just like, yeah, this is probably not going to be the year.
Yeah, and then they had the Mack truck or whatever, the 18-wheeler guy, Sween or Swoony or something like that.
Yeah.
And he would come in those, like, option packages and just run up the middle.
Was it Swoops?
Swoops, that Ryan Swoops?
Was it Tyron Swoops?
It was something Swoops, you're right.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was like when Tebow, which I still understand, Tebow would come in and people were like, oh, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it was him and Leak.
It's probably going to be a quarterback power. Like, take a guess. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, and so that, that was tough. Last week, Georgia was tough. The whole time, though, it was just kind of writing on the wall, watching that game. You just kind of knew it was going to happen.
Is Brian Kelly, like, a bad game away from getting fired, or is it going to be the end of the year?
I think it's definitely the end of the year. I don't think they're going to fire him right. It's as much as I want to get mad at him and be like, damn it, it's got to be tough. You know, you have just like with their whole GPA and everything and how tough it is to get, like, recruiting has to be kind of tough for them. It's just Notre Dame's not really that school anymore. As much as I don't think I've ever said that to it hurts to say, but they're just not, you know.
It is weird. Do you think it has to do with like TV and like how you can watch more games now? Because it used to be like, boom, NBC, like automatic, you could go watch the Golden Domers.
Right. And I think that, I mean, that I absolutely think that. And I think that's why the fan base is so big, obviously, when especially back in the day. But yeah, I think now that, and then it's just, I don't know. You tell me I can go lay out on a beach in Miami or wherever. Miami wasn't a good one because I was going to talk about the SEC, but go anywhere in the, you know, go play in the SEC, or like I said, go to Florida, play in the ACC. Like, I'm okay with that. I not have to do as well. You know, especially if you know you're going to the pros.
Yeah.
Major in parks and recs and live life. Like, yeah.
I'm okay. Recreation management for the win.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just a tough sell, I think. I mean, I think Kaiser even was in finance. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's kind of college football in a nutshell right now. We got Clemson-Louisville tonight. That's the really big game. There isn't a lot of big games this week. That's a huge one. I'm on Clemson because I've been unlike you, I'm a Dabo Sweeney fan, and Deshaun Watson was so fun to watch, and that team was so fun to watch. So I'm kind of giving them a sentimental pick tonight, but they're going up against Lamar Jackson, and boy, oh boy, he looks good again.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you brought up the whole Dabo Sweeney thing, because I think part of that comes with, again, they lost Notre Dame to, I'm the worst, but I don't know why. I'm just not a huge fan on him, not real high on him, and I don't know. I think I see LeVar stealing this one. I know that Clemson, I think the biggest thing is going to be Clemson's defensive line. Obviously, if they can, you know, get a push and take care of, I just think he's too shifty. I think he is.
They took care of him last year, and I think the defense is better this year.
Yeah. Wasn't last year's a shootout too? Didn't they beat him last year?
Yeah, it was a shootout. It was the one where the wide receiver for Louisville, it was like a 4th-and-7, and he was like pretty much there, but he didn't extend the ball, and he ran out of bounds, and it was game over.
Oh, my God. That's what it was. Okay.
I just remember because I had the over in that game, and I was super pumped.
No, I hate Clemson, so that kind of comes with me. I just think Lamar Jackson is the best player in this game, and I mean, as long as, unless something, you know, drastic happens and he plays terribly, I just don't know how. I just don't think Clemson's gonna win. I don't know. Yeah.
No, this is just like last year. It was like week 2 or 3, and Louisville was like a minor underdog to Florida State, and then they ended up beating them by like 40.
Right.
Like I could honestly see that happening tonight. It's either going to be a close Clemson win or a big Louisville win. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hope not. I do know what you're saying, and I part of me wants to agree just because the magnitude of the game and the talent. I just hope not, man. We deserve one this week. This week has been
brutal. It's been brutal. Except that Florida-Tennessee game, outside of like the first 59 minutes, turned out to be good.
I tried having that on TV2 for the whole game, and I had to switch it. I had Notre Dame on the first one. Oh, I did it again. I had Notre Dame on the first one, and I tried to have until the last minute and a half. That game was just horrendous. Again,
it was like Thursday Night Football. It looked like a Thursday Night Football game.
No, it was that bad. Yeah, no, there was nothing that stood out until obviously the Hail Mary, which someone didn't get to see.
Yeah, I know. My local CBS station decided to give me the 5 o'clock news on or the 6 o'clock news on a Saturday, which I didn't need. So,
hey,
right on.
Well, Midgey had a week late, so you gotta get excited.
Yeah, no. That's for anyone in northern Minnesota. They know this because I went to school in Bemidji, but yeah, captivated the whole 218 is this moose was swimming in Lake Bemidji today, and I saw pictures and videos and more pictures and more videos of it.
And I guarantee you those I'm sure they were from different angles. I'm guarantee you that moose didn't do a whole lot today.
Well, actually, I saw this on Facebook. The Bemidji Police Department had to put like a PSA out, be like, hey, we don't want this moose to get tired and like drown, so quit being by it.
You know, that was like the biggest thing they had in months. They're just pumped that they didn't get called Slims for the first time since 2016.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going back for homecoming next weekend, and the first place I'm stopping is Slim's Bar and Grill.
Gosh, what a place. I remember Ben, my older brother, was there. I think I was a junior. That place, I've been going since I was like 16, 17. They've let me in till bar closed. I'm here for it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, no, we used to have big nights there. It was pretty close to my college house, and we pulled some shifts at Slim's.
Shit.
Best burgers in town.
2-0, sorry.
Oh, come on. All right, so let's move on to our final topic, and that is the NFL/Minnesota Vikings. Great win on Monday Night Football to start the season. Mm-hmm. I had no clue how that game was going to go. I was actually pretty scared, and the first two series, it kind of confirmed where I was like, oh no, this is not going to go. And then like a switch was flipped, and we just marched down the field like two drives in a row and made their defense look like they were D3. So first off, I don't know how much you watched, but thoughts on that first game?
Well, I'll tell you how much I watched. It was the second half, because the first half, I thought the game was going to be on NBC Sports. You know, who starts at 6? So I was like, this has to be, I got home, flipped on NBC, because I, you know, I didn't even look at it. Like, I'll get this game ready. I'm watching American Ninja Warriors. Some fucking janitor of an elementary school is going through a ropes course. Meanwhile, I missed the whole first half of the damn Vikings game.
You didn't want to check Twitter or what?
No, well, I wasn't really on. Like, I had just got back from work. It was one of those where I turned it on. I went to go make some food. I grabbed a beer, blah, blah, blah. And, like, in the back of my mind as I was cooking, I was like, man, I didn't think I really had this much time. Like, a 7:30 start. Like, this is nice. It's going to end right around when I want to go to bed. And I sat down, and, like, that's what made me think about it, is I pulled open Twitter, and people were like, oh, you know, you were tweeting from the Batflip account, and people were talking about Cook and Bradford and all that stuff. I was like, is the preview, is this insane? Like, what am I missing? What's going on? And sure enough, I flipped it to SportsCenter, and there's, like, a minute and a half left in the second.
Yeah, and then you text me, you're like, what did I miss? Because for some reason, your brain thought that Monday Night Football for the first game was going to be on
Why
NBC.
Would I think that? It's never been, like, never, ever, ever. I was extremely embarrassed. But
That's still an unreal story. Okay, so you only saw the second half. What did you think of the second half?
From what I've never been one to be confident in Sammy Bradford. If he is healthy,
Which right now is a huge question mark. Apparently, that's come out in the last 3 days.
He looked phenomenal, and I'm always the guy that's like, oh yeah, he looked phenomenal because he checked down 7 times, and you know he's whatever.
Yeah, he's Sammy checkdown.
Yeah, I was like, that's no problem. What's his average? You know, throw
yards,
like,
per attempt or something. Yeah.
And then he goes out and throws for 346 and 3 touchdowns, and makes me look like an idiot. So I mean, if him. Obviously, we saw it last year with the whole Diggs thing. So, I mean, if Diggs can continue to do this and Bradford look...
I mean, Thielen ran for like 140.
Yeah, jeepers. Talk about the second biggest time I'm going to have to put a foot in my mouth. Boy, was I down on him. I've been the biggest. How in the hell is a kid from Mankato your best option at wide receiver?
And from Detroit Lakes, man, a 218-er.
Yeah, I look so dumb. Oh, my gosh. And again... I don't know if he'd be doing this on any other team. Maybe it's for me. God, do I look dumb. Oh, my gosh. I was just like, how in the hell is he getting – like, we draft Treadwell where they drafted. I was just like, there's no way he did. And, boy, do I look dumb. Like, he runs perfect routes. I have nothing to say.
Yeah, it's crazy. So they won. Cook looked great. The offensive line looked average, which is a very good improvement for us.
That, yeah.
But now it's come out this week that Sam Bradford had an MRI on his knee. It turned out to be negative, but we did call. We had a practice squad QB who were paying like the max amount you can for practice squad because we wanted him so bad.
Nice.
And he got activated to the roster, and we're in Pittsburgh this weekend. So. Okay, if Bradford was completely healthy, how do you think it would go?
Well, that's what I was going to say, too, is New Orleans defense is bad. Bad. Very
bad.
Like,
that secondary is really bad.
Like, they're over with the Patriots tomorrow. Could be set at – I haven't looked at it. It could be set at 60, and I'd probably still hit it. Like, it's bad. However, Sammy did fantastic. Steelers at home scares me a little bit. Big Ben's a stud at home.
It's it's 6 or 7 points right now is the spread.
In favor of the Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh, I would hammer the Vikings all day long. I don't think there's a chance in hell the Steelers win by 7. Not with the – and I'm not – as most people probably listening know, I'm not a Vikings fan at all. But I don't think –
Get in. LSU just scored 7-7.
Let's go. What is that at?
53.
Okay, let's go. How much?
But they had a touchdown – LSU had a touchdown right away that was called back, so that's a bummer. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
My question is – with this one, okay, Bell looked terrible last week. Brown got his. Martavius Bryant was trash. I want to see is Rhodes. What are the Vikings gonna do if Antonio Brown goes to the slot like he did last week? I know he's done it before, but from what I've read, and maybe I'm reading the wrong things, he's not crazy about shadowing the number one when they go into the slot.
If he you goes, have to shadow him though, right?
Have to. That's what I was just gonna say. You have to. I don't know. Like, if Trey Waynes gets matched up on him at any point without safety, he's dead in the water. Like, that's a game.
An interesting note here is Rhodes and Brown train together in the offseason.
I love that. I mean, I hate it, but I love it.
It is pretty much a wash, though, isn't it? I mean, like, they know each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Sorry, 3-0. I definitely think – I think that benefits more on the defensive side than it does – don't you think?
I would assume so. Like, the big X factor for us, outside of obviously Bradford not playing, is we have to watch out for Bell if Anthony Barr isn't playing.
Yeah, no, that's even huge. I didn't know what's going on with Barr. Mejia's getting pulled.
I think he's going to play. He was held out a couple days this week, but I think he practiced the last day, Thursday or Friday. So, but I mean, I assume he's going to be the one that's pretty much going to cover Bell out of the backfield, would be my guess.
Which is a nightmare.
Yeah, he's a nightmare for anyone, but I think Barr's he's a good X-factor player.
The athleticism.
He's pretty athletic. Yeah, the dude's a freak athletically. So
that has to be one of the like biggest wins in Vikings like or Minnesota draft history. Like the fact that everyone, I mean, not a huge Vikings guy, was like, you got to draft Manziel here just because I was, you know, excited about the hype and sell some damn jerseys, whatever. Boy, did they make out okay with that.
Yeah, no, but you know what the problem is? There is he's seeing all his buddies getting paid right now, and he's in a contract here.
Good. Give that man his money.
Well, he admitted it. He's like, last year wasn't my greatest. He said he takes plays off sometimes. He's not fully, like, you know, he doesn't go 100% all the time, and he knows it. So I think this is a big year for him, and I hope he does well because he's the next factor. I think Kendricks is a better linebacker as a total package.
See, I don't even have an argument. I have no idea. So I can't.
Kendricks really is like the quarterback of our defense, man. That guy is awesome.
I feel like the defense is just so solid. Like, what are they doing where we're not matching that on offense? I guess we did this last week, so I guess I can't really say anything until I see it again.
I think it all comes back to the offensive line. The offensive line is average to anything around average. I think this could be a pretty good team.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's talent, especially, the defense is fantastic. I mean, you got Diggs on the outside. Thielen's look good. Rudolph's top five? Talent-wise, he's healthy.
I don't know about talent because there's some freaks out there, but I'd say overall, he's probably around 6-7 for tight ends, yeah.
You say Gronk, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed.
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Maybe Eifert.
I was just going to say, it's either him or Eifert there for me.
Yeah, probably.
He's there. Yeah, that offensive line is really atrocious. But then I just see what did Cooks go for? 120 to 127?
Yeah, he went for big.
So just like, and that bugs me too. It's like, why the hell did we sign Murray?
Because we signed him before we knew we'd get Cooks. I'm cool with that.
Still pisses me off. What did he get, 3 carries the other day?
He fumbled on his first one. But he's got a contract where we can cut him after 1 year, and it's pretty easy to do so.
Good. Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, so I don't think he'll be here long.
No, but more importantly, I want to talk about their schedule. So unless you have something I'd like to end
up. No, all you.
Okay. So obviously they got the early win against the Saints. I think this is the biggest thing. I can't wait to hear this from you because obviously I do it with my brother. We both are probably wildly off, so this is big for me. So Saints obviously got a win, so you're 1-0. Steelers upcoming here. It's at Pittsburgh. What do you think?
I'm going to say loss. I'm going to say lose by four. I think we cover, but I don't think we win.
Okay. So I agree there. We're 1-1 going up against the Bucks. Obviously, they had the first week off at home.
I'm so high on the Bucks this year.
I am too.
But I think it might be the Hard Knocks effect.
Which is real. Which
is real. So real.
I mean, I have to watch a show. I just see so many things on every social media. Like, I feel like I get every episode in just chunks, like it's a Kardashian show.
Yeah. So, is it at home?
Yeah, it's at home.
Coin flip game.
Let's give it to him then.
Yeah. No, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. Vikes. Vikes with the W.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, let's give it to the Vikes. Yeah. So, yep. 2-1. So then we got the Lions here. Do you? My question was, it's not like...
We chop with the Lions, home and home.
So you split. That's what I was going to ask.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just say because it's 2-1, so we'll say this one's a loss at home, which no way. But we'll just give it there. So 2-2. Bears, do you think they clean sweep them?
Yes.
Okay. So that's 3-2 there if we're playing devil's advocate there. Packers at home. You split there? At home, we lose. Okay. So now we're at threes. We're at threes. Ravens at home.
We win Ravens.
Win Ravens. Okay. And then at the Browns, that could be on Mars. That's a win.
That's the London game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it starts at 8:30 in the morning.
I'm still in on that. I still think that's a win. I'm taking that.
Yeah, it's a W. It's a W.
So that's 5-3 there. At the Redskins.
Off a bye, win.
Win, okay.
If it wasn't off a bye, it was a loss. But I off a bye, 3 win. Now.
And we've got the Rams, I think, at home. I think that's a win. I think we're both there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's going to be a decent team this year.
I agree, especially that defense.
They did that. Granted, they played Jim Sorgi or whatever. Not Jim Sorgi, but that's what I think of as the backup for the Colts because he did it for like 18 years.
See, that's funny. I always think of Curtis Painter just because I think of that. They've got him for days, though. Colts Painter. Oh, gosh. That's so funny. No, I think of Painter, that long-haired bastard.
I 100% Jim Sorgi.
So that's at, let's see here, that's week 11 with a bye. So we give him that one. That's 7-3.
So the Lions game, you gave us a loss earlier, so yep, we take so that. That's a Thanksgiving game.
So at the Falcons. Ooh, love. I don't know if you prepared that, but to give yourself the sweet W on for that split on Thanksgiving, I respect.
Yeah.
The Falcons at Atlanta. Where are you at there?
Loss.
Loss, respected. Okay, so 7-4.
Is that math right?
No, 8-4, excuse me, because you gave the Lions. So then at the Panthers.
Loss.
Okay, so 5. Bengals, I don't
know. W.
Terrible. So 9-5. So at the Packers, so you had us losing at home.
I think we get swept by the Packers in regular season.
So 9-6, that's – and then the Bears that you said we swept.
Yep, 10-6.
I respect that.
I don't know if I put it out there, but I've said this here before it started, before the first game. The two numbers I think are going to be 10-6. I just don't know which is going where.
Ooh, I respect that. Because I was just going to say, Steelers I think is going to be a loss. I could see them losing to the Bucks. The Lions, I think I agree with you there. I agree with you there. It's going to be split. I do agree. I think the Bears sweep. The Packers we sweep the Bears, excuse me. Packers, I would say we get swept by, but if someone said it's a split, I think the Ravens is a loss.
The Ravens could be a loss.
I do. That's me personally, but that's week one. Browns, I think, is a win. The Reds.
Yeah, but that London, the London aspect kind of gives it a little like wonky feel.
I hate Deshaun Kizer, so that's I hate Deshaun Kizer. He should be at Notre Dame for another year, but that's me. The Redskins, I love that you took him off the bye. That could be a loss in my mind. I know you said you're nervous about the Rams. I think they crush them. Lions, we already talked about. Falcons, Panthers, I think that's – yeah. So, no, it's just, the only games that I think could be a coin flip really are the Bucks, Ravens, and Redskins. Otherwise, I think I'm on with every other thing you said.
Yeah, so I take 10-6. I think that gets us a playoff spot, and we go. And then have I told you my worst-case scenario on the face of the earth?
No, I haven't. I'd love to hear it, though. I'm all about it.
I'm not even sure if I put this on the podcast yet. So in my sick, twisted Minnesota sports mind.
Love it.
And we'll end the show with this. Here is, and obviously not worst case scenario, but this is the sickest of scenarios, if it makes any sense, and not in a good sick way, in like sick, twisted ways. Yeah. We make the playoffs.
Correct.
We have a home playoff game, and we play the Saints. Or not the Saints. We play the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, no. I knew it was going here.
Blair Walsh has a 52-yard field goal to win the game, and he makes it at US Bank Stadium.
Oh, my gosh. That would be... No, that's got...
Well, hold on. It's not over. Seattle ends up losing to the Packers in the NFC Championship game. Packers play for a Super Bowl at US Bank Stadium.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Can you imagine if they beat them tonight? Or tonight, excuse me. If they beat them and... Oh.
Packers win a Super Bowl in our home stadium.
I think that might be the only time I cheer for the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
That has... Like, tell me a worst case scenario.
No, you can't. That's as bad as it gets. That's as bad as it gets.
And the worst part is... All those pieces are like that could happen.
What if Blair?
The only like switch you can make for like convenience would be it's an away game at Seattle and we still lose to Blair Walsh.
Still be a backbreaker, yes, but still. Anything with the Packers winning one in Minnesota is the worst thing I can imagine.
Because that's the ultimate trump card, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The first team to win one. Oh.
Ooh. This is what my mind goes to.
Which the sad thing is me knowing, like, I'm not upset. Like, I understand that, and that sucks. It's just like, yeah, no, a Minnesota fan, yeah, you should. That's where your head should be, and that's the worst. I mean, we could have a whole podcast. We won't go there, but a whole podcast about how many heartbreaks the state of Minnesota's had. And I'm not saying I'm involved in all of them, but man. This poor state.
Yeah, so that's that. We'll leave the listeners with that. So that is my worst case scenario. I think the pending injury, as always, I think the Vikings should do fine. Hopefully we'll make the playoffs. And then we go from there. So, Skip, man, thanks.
Hey, I gotta say, without them, they go 7-9 and fly or die.
Fly or die, man. Yeah, hockey season coming around the corner. I'm sure we'll have you on for some of that.
Right there, it's gonna be me tweeting about a bunch of 18 through 21 year olds and talking about how I love them and think they're fantastic children. So if you're about that,
hey, heads up, man, came out today. Boudreaux's got a new neutral zone attack for the Wild. We're gonna be way more aggressive this year, I guess. So
I cannot wait to see that in November when I go to the game and don't get chew spit on the girl in front of me. Hopefully this year, and we lose by a trillion.
All right, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Absolutely.
All right. Till next time.